Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Pound. I should just stand here a minute and just let y'all guess where this is going. So in a meeting very recently, a bunch of guys talking about our church and how to move it forward and kind of who we are and what we're about. One of the guys kind of threw this word out there, and kind of the context was, you know, are we a pound church? And I was like, wow, I had never thought of it that way. So who ends up at the pound? Strays. So if you are astray, it's because you are astray. Amen. Now, I got to thinking about that, and over, you know, since this church started in 97, I think it was, 1997, who do we attract? Strays. And who are strays? If you look up a definition of a stray, it is someone that moves away aimlessly from a group or from the right course or place. I think, why do we attract so many strays? Now, if you look up, do a little research on pounds, the strays are pretty sophisticated. Number one, what do you think the number one dog in the pound is? Pit bull terrier. They think they're really cute. They get a bad reputation. All of a sudden, that dog can be active. We don't want this dog anymore. Labrador, retrievers, chihuahuas, boxers, German shepherds, beagles, American Staffordshire terriers, dachshunds, American bulldog, border collies, Australian cattle dog, Jack Russell terrier, Australian shepherd, shih tzu, Rottweiler. Shih tzu wasn't on the list. I just thought I'd find a way to say that. It's on the list, number 14. So there are some churches that like, wow, these are purebred dogs. We're looking for those. We want sophistication. We want them. But then they get them and they don't know what to do with them. Because having a dog is not about having a puppy. That's all great. I got some in my house. And if you have puppies like we've had, and someone says, I'm interested in a puppy, we don't just hand them a puppy. I want to know who you are. I want to know where my dog's going. I want to know if you're going to try to bring this thing back, because this thing eats and produces some waste. This will be fun. And so a lot of times we get people who have gone astray because somebody maybe took them in. They got born again. They're a puppy. And then the church figures out, oh, wait, you got problems. Now, if you got enough money and you're sophisticated and educated and you walk into church and you got problems, then you have enough sense not to tell anybody in that church that you got problems. You go get professional help outside and you don't tell your business. So you smile, walk in as a family, everything's great, until someone starts poking around and finds out you've gone astray. You just don't look like a stray, but turns out maybe you do. Full-blooded whatever. Just with a lot of problems. So maybe we are the pound church. If you want to find out if that's true, just ask yourself, are you astray? Have you been astray? Now, here's the problem if you're astray. If the pound don't pick you up and nobody drops you off, then you just stray. And then somebody invites you to church. And your idea of church is, oh, that'll never work out because I'm astray. If I walk in there, they're going to go, who let you in? And I heard a story in the last few days about this. Someone invited their family, got here, pulled up in the parking lot, sat there, and drove home. Never got out of the car. Because we all got issues. And on top of that, we don't even have everything in common. We're not even the same breed culturally. So you got people think they're better than other people. I'm not going to tell you who this or where it was, but pretty very bold, very courageous statement. One of the guys who's in this room, we're in another meeting, and a black gentleman in there, this guy happens to be white, and he said, man, I never would have come to a church like this back in the day. I didn't like black people. Simple stuff. You just don't like people who don't look like you. Something about the pound, you don't get to pick, right? You get dropped off at the pound, they don't say, well, this is where you're going to be. Oh, no, I don't want to be with these dogs. Put me in the, you know, in the terrier group. This is not the Westminster dog show, dude. This is the pound. Now, I was not raised to start and run a pound. I was raised to run a dog show. And let's appeal to the cool people, which is a synonym for lukewarm. Let's attract cool people because we're cool. Well, what does that mean? Well, they're beautiful people. We want beautiful people. I have come to discover that I'd much rather have some beautiful people on the inside than a bunch of beautiful people on the outside that don't know jack about Jesus and no interest in it. Right? If you're going to be a beautiful person, be a beautiful person from the inside out. So let's read some scriptures about the pound. Psalm 119, verse 67 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. I will tell you something about the strays that this pound attracts, that if you come and stay and you'll stick with it, we will love you, we will try to lead you, and we will try to get you in the scriptures. And if you get in the scriptures, you'll keep his word. And if you keep his word, you will not be astray anymore. And if you stick together, you won't be by yourself out there. Isaiah 53, 6. Just keep going right. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. Now, if the combination of me growing longer nails to scratch your ears more, I think about this stuff every once in a while. I think, you know, Rebecca and I have a running joke. She said, what are you going to preach about today? I say, oh, Noah's Ark. We're going to do Noah's Ark. We're just going to tell the story, two by two. How cool is that? The animals went in. You say, well, can you just do something nice? Don't be mean to us. Just do something nice. Don't push us. Don't challenge us. Just tell us stories. For what? And then the Noah's Ark story, well, you want to know what that was about? He destroyed the whole world except for eight people because of the violence. So they all go somewhere. You say, we just want to be encouraged. What a lot of people want is to be encouraged to continue living like hell and feel better about it. It don't work that way. You're going to follow Jesus. You're going to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. You're going to lose your life, but you're going to pick it up. You're going to gain it. But if you hold on to it, you'll lose it. Luke 14, verse 15. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. You got an invitation. Everything's ready for the party. Come to the party. But they all with one accord begin to make excuses. The first said to him, dude, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Sorry, I bought some property and I got to go check it out. Sorry. Excuse me from your party. And another said, I've bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Sorry about your party, but I got to go see how my oxen operate. Bought a new truck. Still another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Oh, your whole life shut down now because you're married? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room. And still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. So we put the invitation out to certain people. Oh, no, wife, land, oxen. Doesn't sound like a couple of those are poor people either. And Jesus says, what? Then go into the lanes. We've already done that. Then keep going. So ask yourself this question. Are you astray that got taken in and turned around, and now you're looking for other strays? Or are you better than all these people? 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I read this stuff over and over to you, to myself. I'm going to read it. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it. But you got to think about it. Say, God, show me what this means. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So why are a lot of churches out there afraid to preach about the cross? Because it's not cool. You can't attract people. Preaching about the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. People want to be told they can be nice. They can think positively. Make them feel better. You will never feel better until you deal with your sin Jesus' way. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Until a person who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit is convicted of their sin and the gospel becomes not foolishness, it's what they've looked for their whole life and they're saved. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. Now, please hear this out. I did a message about this passage right here called Not Many. It doesn't say not any, but look at what it says. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So I was raised, you got yourself all cleaned up, put your Sunday go to meeting clothes on. Anybody ever heard that? Your Sunday go to meeting clothes, your Sunday best. So I was taught to look like everything was okay, whether everything was okay or not inside. And I grew up where it wasn't okay inside, but nobody cared about that. Nobody asked me about that. There wasn't time for that. And within 20 years, I'm ready to check out, kill myself, because I could look right, but I didn't feel right. There was something terribly wrong. But the church has gotten so sophisticated, so cool, so everything. We're trying to attract people. Now, if you attract people, then you do something with that. That's great. But whatever you do to get them, you got to keep doing to keep them. And if you're going to water it down, you got to keep watering it down. Or people go, ooh, oh, he said something about homosexuality, abortion. I'm out. Or about my sin. I don't want to give up my sin. I need to find a church that'll let me keep my sin. It's my favorite. You can have the other ones, but I got to keep this. This is my favorite. Like what? But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God isn't just trying to change your destination eternally. He's trying to change you. He's trying to change me. Sanctification, it's a process, little by little. And then I become aware of something else. I'm like, are you kidding me? That can't be in there. I don't want to think of myself that way. And he said, well, that's what's going on. What are we doing with this? And they go, okay, we'll do something with it. And it's less and less in me and more of him. And now the only thing I got left is him. And so all the glory goes to him. Jesus isn't interested in salvation partners. I tell you what, Jesus, you put the down payment down and I'll make the rest of the payments. And then we'll do this together. He's the down payment. He's the payments. He's everything. You got nothing without him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. No qualifiers. You know, all you got to do to qualify to get saved is to be lost. You got to be a sinner. And you'd be amazed how hard it is to get people lost because they don't need Jesus. They don't need saving. I'm good. I'm a good person. That's it. I'm a good person. Good for you. You need Jesus. You need that crutch. I don't need that. I'm a good person. Until they're standing before a holy God one day, and that didn't work out so well. Because none is good but God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, this isn't the only way, but this is one of the no-brainer ways that you end up astray. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible never says that money is evil. It says the love of money. And you start chasing money and you'll compromise all kind of stuff. Let me give you some just simple thing about money. If you're chasing money, you will never do with that money what he says to do because you're chasing money, not him. If you're chasing him and he blesses you with money, you realize it's not my money anyway, it's his money. And so you can't be greedy with God's money because it's not your money. And then how many times people who pursue that, the love of money, God allows that people to run those traps. And where does it end up? It tells you right here where it's going to end up. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows, strayed from the faith. You're gone. You don't need God or church or anybody. You're going to be rich. Until it all falls apart one day, if it does before you die, and you go, God, what have I done? Now, I'm about to read you this out of Hebrews chapter 5. This starts talking about the high priest or these priests in the Old Testament. This is written to Jewish people, and it goes into Jesus after these verses, but just look at the first two verses. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are two things, ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. From time to time, I'll have somebody come see me, and it takes a long time before he gets to this. I took about 2 hours and a little over 2 hours and a half with one guy. And I kind of knew he was gay when he walked in. Not because he looked or acted gay, if that's a thing. Didn't give off anything. But he started talking. So what'd you do, blow him out? Let me tell you something. I'm on the side of helping people who are ignorant or have gone astray. Because I got my own issues. So you say, well, I'm astray then. If I go to that church, they're going to throw me out. We're not going to throw you out unless you've completely locked up on God. Someone who's stiff-necked and says, I don't care what God says or the scripture says, I will do what I want to do. You can't move forward in a body of believers. But if you come in and say, look, I'm in trouble. I got an issue. I got a challenge. There's nobody in this room doesn't have a challenge. Everybody's got a weight and a sin that so easily besets them. It's in the Bible. It's a thing. So I sat with this guy, and this particular guy, listen. Now, when he left, I told him, I said, look, here's how this goes down. You know, either I'm going to tell you there's no power over this sin, and if you're a Christian and you've told me you are, and I believe that, then you're a new creation. So it's not that you don't have power to do the right thing. It's you just may not want to do the right thing, and that is a thing. But there's consequence that comes with that because God loves you. He's going to discipline you. And there's another course. If you really lock down and won't repent, you could die. I said, you got to pick a lane. I said, but you will not leave this office without understanding that I love you. Oh, this is what would Jesus do? That's what Jesus would do. Love on people. Because some people are ignorant. Some people have gone astray. You say, well, I try to help them and they won't repent. They won't turn around. Sometimes you let them go. Luke 15, the prodigal son, the first two stories, lost sheep, lost coin. Go look for the sheep, sweep the house for the coin. The third story, the son left and the dad didn't go after him. Because sometimes you got to come to yourself out there in a pig pen before you go home. Amen. So I got some people I spend time with or go looking for, chase them down. I got other people, I let them, you know, this is what it sounds like. They got that bait and they think they're running. Do you know what? Even the biggest fish in the sea, if you got another line, he'll wear himself out. And here he comes because they're tired. 1 Peter 2, running out of verses, so there's hope for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I think we're a pound church, and we're going to keep it that way. You say, well, I don't want to be in that kind of church. There's plenty of churches that aren't pound churches. Everybody's the same. Well, I want to go to a black church. I want to go to an all-black church where they wear hats and gloves and they got ushers and maybe even usher himself shows up. I just want to be with people like me. In fact, I don't just want to be in a black church. I want to be in a poor black church because there are rich black churches and middle-class black churches. And then I want, you know, pick some little Flavor Flav in there somewhere by black churches. No, I don't want to be in a black church. I want to be in a Hispanic church. Not just a Hispanic church, because everybody thinks I'm Mexican, but I'm from El Salvador. I want an El Salvadorian church for Hispanics that are poor. People like me. Oh, no, I want to be in a white church. But I didn't go to college, so I got to find me a church where they don't go to college in that church. You see how crazy this gets? Well, I'm in business and I got to sell insurance to certain kind of people. So I got to find me a church where those customers are. So out in the narthex, I can cut some deals. What are we doing? Why don't we just ask Jesus where we're supposed to go and get there? And if everybody's there, then bring everybody. See, you may or may not know this, but a part of where this church came from is I got tired of making excuses why people I met, regardless of where they were from, what they looked like, I couldn't invite to my church. I got tired of it. So here we are. I never meet anyone that I don't think would be welcome in this church. Never meet them. I'll clap to that. Now, you say, well, what are you clapping about? You ain't clapping for me. You're clapping for you. Because I can say this all day long. I had a guy come in here a few months back and he said, I listened to you on the radio or wherever he was listening. And he said, I didn't come here to hear you preach. I came to see if the people were what you say they are. Because anybody can get up and say a bunch of stuff. But if you don't love each other and you don't take strays in, we're out of business. This week, this day, try to find someone you think isn't welcome and bring them. Let's run a test on this pound. Stop letting people's sin get in the way of you reaching them with a Savior. You got something you're not comfortable with. Jesus is not comfortable with any of this. is all sin if it's sin. And the second you meet someone you think he can't save, you're in trouble. Because if he can't save them, he couldn't have saved you. Because all have sinned and fallen short.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.